being that the time of year is this, you know, it's two times of year now. On one hand, it's a Sfira, which on one level, I'm not discussing at all, the connection from Pesach to Shavuot, the original understanding of Sfira, the preparing a building from Yitzhak to Svant to Matan Torah, the connection of those two. It's also the Sfira, it's a Lag BaOmer of Achdus and Am Yisrael, Achdus HaKamocha, no longer making the same mistakes that Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim made of Lo Nahagu, Kavod Zebazeh. And the third thing about specifically this Tukufa, this time period, is it's almost like the time for the Tzion. First we had Yom HaShoah, then we had, which is also a precursory for Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut, and Yom HaShem Yom Yerushalayim. There's a certain sense like, you know, the flag is being, you know, waved, raised, not just for Yom HaAtzmaut, but the entire month is Israeli flags all over the place. And in terms of the hashkafic debates that occur, they're intensified now. Those of you who joined us down to the Kotel on Leil Yom HaAtzmaut, it was absolutely beautiful. I thought it was absolutely, you really got the entire picture. You had, on one hand, the feeling of dancing down to the Kotel. You had the flags going. It was not just in July 4th, but the kippah is down to the Kotel. It was the right place. The sikhot were powerful. The dancing, the circle was absolutely breathtaking and inspiring. You had a couple of random crazy charedim saying it'd be better to have Iran running Israel than it would be the Israeli government we have, which is difficult to top in terms of stupidity. The only thing I could think of that would top it would be Hitler running Israel. I couldn't imagine anything stupider suggesting that. I do believe, I heard an interesting ha'ara that from a friend of mine, he made a comment that goes, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Yom Yerushalayim and Yom HaAtzmaut in the middle of the Sfira is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted people to learn how to deal with passion for their ideology as well as learn how to retain the message of Lo Nahagu Kavod Zebazeh, to learn how to have Chaluke Deis without Machlokis, to learn how to disagree without wanting to kill each other. And I wanted to talk about that for a minute because I think that's the flavor in the air. I wanted to briefly talk a little bit about what is Hashkafa in general and then eventually talk also about this specific time now. I once heard when I was dating, back before I was married, opposed to the time when I was dating, you know, when I was dating, back before I was married, I remember a guy called me up and he said to me, you know, like, what's my Hashkafa? I spoke about 25 minutes about different values and, you know, what I believe in, what I subscribe to, what I don't subscribe to. And he was very polite. He goes, I just wanted to know if you wanted to have a TV in your house or not. My response was, to be totally honest with you, less interested. I don't plan on having a TV, but if the woman wants to, it's the right girl. That's not my number one issue. To be honest, I don't really care. You know, I'll raise good children with everything else in the world. I think I'll be able to overcome the TV situation in the house and raise good children. If I don't have a TV, it's not a guarantee for good children either. I think I control myself in terms of time and whatnot. And I realized how shallow this individual was. If you want, you should have said you don't want a TV in the house. I feel like sometimes people miss out on Hashkafa. It's true people debate in Hashkafa, should you have a TV, should you not, how Zionist should one be, how important is getting a secular education or embracing the world, how much should one, these type of things. I just want to clarify two or three points. I think what Hashkafa is one's outlook towards the world. It encompasses everything. There was once a yeshiva that opened up a few years ago, and the Rebbe said there is no Hashkafa in this yeshiva. I said to myself, that itself is a Hashkafa. Our Hashkafa is not to talk about a lot of it. Hashkafa means how do you view the world? What's your outlook? What's your, you know, perception of the world. It could be your perception is only Gemara. That's Hashkafa. You like it, you don't like it, you can debate that, but that is the Hashkafa. My Hashkafa is to value nothing but Gemara and to create shallow people, or to create not shallow, but narrow-focused people. Not shallow, that's the wrong word. Narrow people. And there's maybe nothing wrong about that. There are huge Gedolei Torah who are very narrow. Some people have other Hashkafas to embrace much more than Avodas Hashem. I believe that what kippah you wear very often may be reflective of ideologically who you feel comfortable with, whether it's socially or ideologically. But Hashkafa is how you view the world. And I think it's just an important thing. Hashkafa is how much Tanakh to learn versus Machshava. How much time one should spend in yeshiva versus go out and make a parnasa. How much one should value the Israeli government to take place and improving it versus not? How much one do Kira versus not? How much should one value bringing the Mashiach in their time versus not? On one hand, we're living toward the Mashiach. Isn't that the most greatest thing in the world? On the other hand, it's only one of the 13 principles of faith. Let's not over-messianize everything. These are debated topics. These are all hashgachah topics. How much of a risk should one take in order to accomplish great things? It's a big risk for a Chabadnik to move out to the middle of nowhere to make people from. Is it a worthwhile risk? There are many different hashgachah issues. And I just want people to realize it's not just whether or not you send your kids to co-ed school or not. There's a value in doing it, potentially. There's a downside to doing it, potentially. What's your world view on these issues? I think that's more or less, there's certain hashkafas that are clearly Torah hashkafas, the value of Talmud Torah. You will not find from Jews who say Talmud Torah has no value. 90% of hashkafic debates, maybe even 100, but at least they are not so much what we accept, but to what extent. It's almost Elu V'Elu. Elu V'Elu means I value what I value more, but the fact that you also say it means you're a Daya as well. 90% of hashgachic debates are questions to prioritize things and not per se to reject an act. Once in a while you have crazy people who come along and say, the Rebbe is Mashiach. 99% of Am Yisrael, they know it's crazy, they know it's Mishagash, and they kind of like move away from such jitas. No one believes to what extent he's the Rebbe Mashiach. He's not Mashiach, he's not Ruba the Ruba of Am Yisrael, except that he's not. A few people out there, you know, a couple of messages disagree. You have a couple of crazy people in the Torah Karta who believe it's worthwhile to hug and kiss Ahmadinejad, you know, and do absolutely, I'm saying, and deny the Holocaust. And for the most part, no one thinks they're a legitimate sheep. In other words, the crazy Rishon that make up the Torah Karta, they're being the way, you know what I'm saying, Jews for Jesus. We've distanced ourselves from crazy, crazy things like these groups of people. Most hashgachic points are to what extent. Everyone agrees Kirov is great. Lubavitch is doing fantastic by doing Kirov. Is it the only goal? Should you go at a younger age or an older age? Is it worth the risk? Ruba the Ruba of Am Yisrael believe having a Jewish state, a Jewish government, is a good thing. The overwhelming majority are not crazy people protesting in the streets. The question is it worthwhile to go to the army on one hand, which is defending Am Yisrael and maybe even the mitzvah d'Oraisa? If there's a chance, 1 out of 10 is going to come back not keeping Shabbos. Is that risk worthwhile? I don't think anyone in the world would tell you getting a secular education has an equal value to watching paint dry. The question is, the college environment you put yourself in, as well as the time invested versus doing other things, to what extent? Again, if you're an intelligent, thinking, broad-minded person, that's more valuable than being not broad-minded. The question is it worthwhile in terms of time and energy and potential risks? How great of the value is it versus the downsides? Same thing with almost, 90%, if not 100% of mainstream. Again, people debating crazy topics. But for the most part, hashgachic issues are agreed upon in principle, just disagreed upon to a degree. In that sense, almost what I'm doing is undermining minimizing major hashgachic debates. We all agree to the following. You agree more, we agree less. So practically, I'll do my life live one way, and you'll live your life slightly differently. But for the most part, the core central values of hashgachic points that we agree upon are really accepted amongst almost everyone. And I really believe that. I really believe Ruba the Ruba of the Haredim think going to the army and protecting Am Yisrael is a positive thing. They don't do it because it's a Bittul Torah, and there's what to be said for leaving, you know, not doing that. It's because there's a potential downside of becoming down from people who really come down from in the army. But there are potential downsides to it. The reason why most, I don't think anyone disagrees that thinks Parnassus is bad. Happens to be how much can one rely upon Saka in order to do mitzvot versus stand on your own 2 feet is the debated topic. You don't find people say Parnassa is terrible. They would say, and we all value learning, we all value Parnassa. The question is, what's the proper balance in terms of being responsible and that, etc., etc. You find a couple of crazy people at the extreme who say Parnassa is terrible, there's no value. Equally good to do Parnassa as it is to sit around and, again, watch paint dry. It's uncommon. You find the Farshim talking about how part of the Ramadan Shabbos and the Shabbos, the mitzvah.
Parashat Mitzvah.
That's the mitzvah. And in a certain sense, one should have the hashkafa, I believe, that hashkafic differences are minimal and not to be, you know, put into a microscope and blown up and not to create fighting. And I believe that's true. However, I do believe there's another hint. I believe a person should search and identify with a certain group of values, people with them, or maybe not. And I believe this yeshiva has uniqueness in its hashkafa. Hopefully the deepness of the sense is separate from mainstream Orthodox Judaism. But I do believe there are characteristics where people can identify with passion for certain things that we subscribe to, that others less so, and certain things us less, and others more so. And I do believe that our hashkafa and our ideology and our mission and our direction is absolutely beautiful and inspiring. And as much as I just spoke about until now, it's essentially not that much different from everyone else's. And I really believe that. I do believe people should realize its differences for two specific purposes. Number one is self-identity. It's worthwhile to understand who you are, what your values are, how you want to spend your time, what activities in this world bring you closer to God and bring more positivity, religious positivity, Ratzon Hashem, Avodas Hashem, to this world. It's important you should figure out who you are. How much do you value? And again, within the Gedolim, you find debates. Within Balei Hashkafa, Balei Machshava, the Chachmei HaMesor, you find debates. How much, I remember when I was in Wadi, there was a good friend of mine who asked two different Rashi Yeshiva, if I go out to do Kiryat Shabbatons, I will have a tremendously positive influence. However, if there are girls there, I'm going to have your Hurim. I'm going to try my best to minimize that, but I'm going to be thinking about girls' body parts for a week or two. Not the rest of it. Not more. I try my best to minimize it. It's a real Yetzirah I have. I grew up in the regular world. I'm a normal Yetzirah. I look at girls' body parts and I think about them. The more I'm around them, the more I do, I try my best to minimize it. I try my best. I really try. One Rosh Hashiva said, if you mamish have your Hurim, how can I send you out? A different Rosh Hashiva said, you have to go out and you have to teach Jews Torah and then you have to handle it and control yourself. And if you can't, then you made a mistake. Onus Rechmana Patre, try your best to control yourself. Because you're going to have Yehurim and you can't control yourself. 15 Jews shouldn't keep Shabbos. How much do you weigh in on these issues? It's debatable. It's to figure out where you are and who you identify with and things along that nature just to feel comfortable. I believe strongly people, the more comfortable they feel with who they are in their hashkafa, the greater they aspire towards Avodas Hashem. The more comfortable one feels in their hashkafa, the more one comfortable feels with Torah and mitzvahs, which often is just presented in the way they feel comfortable. The way you identify with something, the more you can jump on the bandwagon and give it 100%. And I believe one of the major differences between people who come to Israel and spend time in Shiva versus don't are people who think back to your high school days. Judaism was just a fraction of your life. I played basketball. I liked girls. I was from as I should be in high school. I wanted to get into a good secular college or NYU or whatever. I wanted to, you know, be very popular, and I wanted to make a lot of money. You know, so Judaism was one of your five or six main goals. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was just as important as, you know, driving a nice car and dressing well. You have different types of values. And I think one of the things that yeshiva does is encourage you to realize that Avodas Hashem is even more important than a lot of those other values. Now it could be you should make a nice parnasa, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in your life. It could be you should be well educated, because it's important people should do political, all sorts of things, political activism, and preach to the world, and all sorts of wonderful things. The question is just in terms of value. I mean, one of the ways I think people allow themselves to prioritize Avodas Hashem over other things are, now I feel I identify with a certain type of hashkafa, or mitzvahs. I can allow to have a deeper connection to my heart and to my lifestyle because I feel comfortable with this hashkafa. Or hashkafically, I feel like I fit right in. And therefore, in terms of self-identity, it's crucial. And there is, however, a second message, which is, I genuinely believe there are so many Jews out there that will again, point number one is Mitzad Emes. The reason why I believe in the Hashkafa and the Shita of Avodas Hashem, I do it because I believe it's the Emes. Every issue I take side in is because I believe in it. I could be wrong, but I never chose the side I thought was second best. I never chose the argument that I didn't like. I try my best to think as best as I can, develop my Hashkafa, is what I preach, is what I believe is best. I can't say I'm always right, but I definitely chose the opinion that I always thought I was right. I never intentionally made mistakes, hashgafically. And I really believe that the hashgaf I subscribe to, and the sheet of Baruch Hashem that I live my life according to, is what I believe is MS. Try my best to make those decisions based upon MS. Then there's number two, which is not just an ideological decision, the decision of MS, but a pragmatic one. Which is, I believe that the sheet of Baruch Hashem that I'm talking about, subscribing to, and living my life towards, is one that if others would know about it, and they would hear it, they'd be much more excited about our mitzvahs. I feel very often, especially in the communities we come from, if the message of our yeshiva was heard and preached, more people would be learning, more people would daven with kavana, more people would think Judaism is something that they themselves can relate to. I think very often people distance themselves from Judaism because it's misrepresented, not incorrectly represented, but one sheet is represented opposed to a whole orchestra of sheetas. If all you hear is the trumpet, you don't like the trumpet, that you think you don't like music. You don't realize there's a piano, and that there's a guitar, and that the drums has a different beat, and that in addition to the trumpet, there's the French horn, there's a million and one. Again, if you have the entire symphony, people can identify and relate to more. And therefore, I feel, in addition to working out your thoughts hashkafically to know what you believe is MS, and to allow yourself to grow closer to the Rebbeinu Shlomo and commit more, I believe that people have, especially if they can, an achrayus to impact Am Yisrael, to preach the message that people could hear and identify with. I feel very often, when I go out to Chutzlar, it's England especially, but America as well, and Canada, I go out to cities and countries and communities and have the ability to speak, sometimes to represent the yeshiva, and sometimes, like if I'm there for Shabbos, I'll speak to a shul, I'll speak to in front of a community, I'll speak to a group of people, I'll give a shalosh shuddos to high school kids. And I feel very often the messages that I say, not that I'm this tremendous Baal Machshava, Baal Hashkafa speaker who, you know, is wowing the whole world. I think I'm representing the message of our yeshiva, and as well as others could have. I feel people think it's a breath of fresh air. It's so inspiring to hear this message. It's so inspiring to hear these values. It's so inspiring to hear Torah presented in a sophisticated way, in a way with ideology and dream and vision. It's inspiring. It's uplifting. It's something people want to identify with. And I guess the point number two is, in addition to ironing out who you are, I believe there's a whole, say world, but a whole community, dozens and hundreds, maybe thousands of people, who would love to hear and have exposure to the Torah that hopefully you'll be able to preach with the proper articulation. It's true about speaking, it's true about living, it's true about representing, it's true about writing. It could be a person who has the ability to write well, they should write up an article and have it publicized. A person has the ability to speak there. A person has just the ability to live and represent something. A person who's from and living an honest, genuine, sincere life as a Baal HaBas it can be speaking to thousands of people without even opening his mouth. And therefore, being we're at this time where Hashkaf is so much debated. Hashkaf is so much debated. Yom Yerushalayim, Yom HaAtzmaut, especially these times of years. I believe, especially where it's a sphere time where we're trying our best not to create machlokas, it's important to realize the differences are small, that 90% we agree to, and the last 10% is just about how to prioritize. Number one. And number two is when we do articulate our differences, it should be done. People should feel the desire to articulate their differences, understand who they are, both for themselves as well as to teach Torah, to be Maravitz Torah to the world, to inspire Jews to look deeper, to find deeper, and to grow deeper. Everyone should have a good chance.